Pacific Coast, Phil Hendry.
Good evening and welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch around here. That's what we say. And we endeavor to achieve that very high standard of broadcasting.
Saying the truth is your bitch is a high standard of broadcasting. I'm not complaining, but I think you could shoot higher.
What's higher than the truth being a bitch?
Well, first of all, I think that it's...
Can I finish?
Yes, but...
Saying the truth is our bitch is, it is what it is, okay, Margaret? I don't think it's a sexist comment so much as it's just, it's worked its way into the lexicon of American ease, that is where it will remain. So, to continue here, after having been interrupted...
Yeah, would you let him finish?
I said, listen, me interrupting's not the same as you.
Why not? It's the same gobbledygook.
Would you?
Hey, easy. Boy, you know, there are other ways of solving problems than taking a shot at the guy.
I'd take a shot at him.
Yeah, you did. You threw a right hand.
Yeah, it was a straight right hand.
I was reaching over to...
All right, in any event, truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, or some nights other talk shows are glad they don't go to places that we go to. This month, our website, philhenryshow.com, is very happy to announce that all this month, for every new Backstage Pass member we sign up, we afford you the opportunity of a free Best of CD download, a digital download from our shop. So if you sign up for a one-month subscription, you get one free Best of CD download. If you sign up for a six-month subscription, you get three Best of CD downloads, digital downloads from our shop. And if you sign up for a one-year subscription, you get five, count them, five. Best of CD subscriptions there at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show website. So that's worth the price of admission, if I do dare say myself. And it's great to have you as a part of our BSP family because, among other things, among the thousands and thousands of hours of downloadable full radio shows over there, you can also take a good long gander at me here on our Phil TV in HD video cast each and every night. We're doing a live video, video cast of our show, and we do... put a bit of effort into our video cast. We're a very high-quality picture. It's a high-definition picture. And behind me, the rolling, roiling, and tumultuous surf of the El Pacifico.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome to our program. Tonight, we've got a couple of offbeat stories. I know that last evening, because of a workload that has just been murderous, there was a night off. I've been working, almost a full month. Because during the weekends, I've been doing these football podcasts, also rehearsing that one-man show.
Well, tell everyone how that's going. The one-man show that Phil's talking about is, if I may.
Go ahead.
Phil is going to be doing a one-man show that is, I believe, long overdue.
I agree with that.
Right. Can I finish?
Yeah, but I was just agreeing.
He's just agreeing with you.
May I finish what I'm saying, and then you can sputter whatever it is you want.
I do agree.
I don't even understand what he said.
What did you say, bud?
All he's doing is agreeing.
I understand, but I want to make this statement. Phil is doing his one-man show, which is long overdue. Long overdue. And that will... Okay, that's all I want to say.
That's what... That's the...
It would have been quicker had these two not been sputtering and spitting and spewing and... It's almost as if the Charles Lawton interpretation of the Hunchback of Notre Dame is brought into full relief in front of me every night. The Charles Lawton version, not the Lon Chaney version. Charles Lawton, which is far superior.
The Charles Lawton version of the Hunchback of Notre Dame, not the Lon Chaney version.
Not the Anthony Quinn. And by the way, the Anthony Quinn and Charles Lawton versions were far superior to the...
But Mr. Chaney?
No, talk about Dick Chaney.
No, not Dick Chaney. Oh, God.
Not Dick, Lon Chaney, the actor Lon Chaney. So this is very interesting. So they bring to life in full relief.
Full relief. Full relief.
Full relief. The Charles Lawton.
And Anthony Quinn.
And Anthony Quinn versions of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, not Lon Chaney.
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry.
Oh, God!
Why do you do that on the air?
I just had a romaine salad.
Okay.
And I had vinegar, and I'm going to explain to you.
Margaret, when you belch on the air like that, it's a little, to put, to use your word, off-putting.
It is a normal bottle. It's not like cutting one, okay?
You're talking about farting.
Why don't you grow up?
Well, you've done that, too.
I beg your pardon?
You've done that in the studio. I don't want to get into this. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our program. A great many very serious news talk things to talk about. We've got Obama. We've got all the hell that's breaking loose all over the whatever the hell's going on. You know, the bads, you know, taxes and...
Margaret's farts.
And Margaret's... I mean...
You lousy...
Hey, hey, hey!
Good. You keep on running, bud, and keep on going.
Uh-huh.
Hey, bud, if you keep doing that, you know what happens, man. I'm gonna bring the pain in all seriousness tonight.
You always say you're gonna, but you don't.
What's that?
You always say you're gonna, but you don't.
He's right.
Well, I'm gonna bring the pain tonight.
You always say you will, but you never do.
The hell I don't. I kicked your ass a couple. I'll have Margaret do it to you. You want that? You want that high heel again?
She kicked me in the ribs.
That's right. Why can't I start the show? I feel like the father in a car that is going long distance, and I got kids acting up every night. Why can't I start this radio show without this?
Phil, I just made a very quick comment at the beginning, and the other two...
Save the quick comments until I give the high sign. I tell you what I'll do. You see this middle finger?
Yes.
That'll be my high sign. Here, okay, go!
How rude.
Yeah. Here's an interesting story, and it came to my attention because, frankly, these kinds of stories are interesting to me. Is it important? Probably not. Is it something of import for today's generation? Something that you need to know? Something that you must know because your lives, your very lives, are at stake? No. Then why is it news, Phil? Because I said it is. How about that? By the way, speaking of stories that are of import and are quite possibly important enough to retrieve your life from everlasting gloom and doom, Washington lights up as marijuana legalized.
Yay!
All right. Get a load of that, man. Pot smokers lit it up in Washington State as recreational marijuana became legal in a historic first for the United States of America. And it is clouded by the fact, I like the word clouded by the fact that federal law still bans the practice. Now, this is an example, for the very first time in the history of my life, you know, I can't see the history. This is an example for you, for anybody that is a state's rights kind of a guy.
Now, you know, what are state's rights?
State's rights are what states claim they have the right to do. And many of the rights claimed by states are legitimate rights. The federal government's got no business sticking their nose in and telling people what to do. But in the instance, for instance, of... Margaret?
In the instance of human rights, for instance, the civil rights movement.
There. That is something that not all states have been, shall we say, constitutional in their application of. You can't say it's up to a state whether a man is allowed to vote or not. You can't say it's up to a state whether a man is allowed to go to the bathroom in a restroom that is a comfortable and modern and efficient restroom as opposed to going into an outhouse. You can't say, a state is not allowed to say, it's not constitutional. The Constitution of the United States, when it comes to the actual rights, the Bill of Rights and other laws, maintains for the federal government supremacy. That's what's called federal supremacy. And the federal government says, you can't do that. You know, it's unconstitutional. Like if the states voted tomorrow to make all women go back in the kitchen and not have the right to vote.
Then we'd all party.
Yeah.
Shut your...
Watch it. He's kidding, okay?
I understand he's kidding, but he's giving that message out to others that are as dumb, if not dumber, and will be influenced by the unspeakable podium that you give him. I think it's wrong, Phil.
What podium?
That man there, that boy, has the right to say... And there's all...
I meant to say... Da-da-da-da.
You might as well. I mean, you can say whatever you want, but it sounds like...
Well, in any event... So that's what states' rights is. Now, States' rights is a marvelous thing, but not when it comes to somebody's constitutional rights and so on and so forth. Then you have to let, you know, you got to be consistent with the federal constitution. However, if you want an example of a state's right to do something that the federal government, in my opinion, has got no business shoving their nose into, and it's really kind of interesting. This is the craziest part of all of this. It's the marijuana laws. And yet, many of the very same people who are states' rights advocates, i.e. conservative people, who want smaller, less centralized government, et cetera, so on and so forth, traditional Jeffersonian kinds of a view of federalism or of the federal government, those very same people, when it comes to this, then they're all in favor of federal law. No, we don't need marijuana around. Where's the federal government? It's very, it's weird. And I've never seen an issue that is a better example of where a state has the perfect right to regulate or to pass or not pass whatever law they want than the marijuana thing. All right, we'll be right back. We'll talk a little bit more about it. Jeff Dowder coming up here in a moment. Jeff is the professor of mechanical physics, part-time professor of mechanical physics at Caltech, to talk about these legalized marijuana laws. Also, Don Mixa will be joining us. And we'll hear from the conservative side of things as well. Larry Grover's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show. So I was looking for this particular story to print, but I couldn't do it. Nonetheless, the story goes as such, as we mentioned to you. The state of Washington has, as you know, legalized marijuana, and it has gone into effect. And so that's... You know, turn this off, bud, okay?
Yeah, it's that's cool air and everything.
It makes noise.
Yeah, but the air's cool.
It makes noise.
Well... nonetheless, it's a noise, bud, that we don't need. All right, so, point being that the Phil Hendry Show here has a fan in the studio, but we don't want all the noise that the fan's making. That's number one. And number two, the legalization of marijuana.
Yes, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, but the fan...
You get out of here with the fan. You're blowing me. You're confusing me with the fan. The legalization of marijuana is what I wanted to get into here, talking about the state... of Washington. God. Now, in the state of Washington, they have legalized the smoking of dope. Now, that's their business. There's a federal prohibition against it. The federal law says you can't have marijuana. This goes back to the 30s. And it goes back, quite frankly, folks, you can look it up. You can do whatever you want to do. You don't have to believe me. But it is so deep-seated, and it is so, what's the word? It is so nefarious. It is such blatant propaganda that the country bought it hook, line, and sinker. People to this day still buy into it. People as august as John McCain, who's a senator, one of our senior senators, one of a great, outstanding American, a great man, good man. But even John McCain... buys the whole propaganda line, hook, line, and sinker about marijuana being a gateway drug to heroin. I mean, something that people laughed about 40 years ago. Used to talk about it and laugh about it. Now we have these federal laws that were brought on by that attitude, and they go directly against the state laws that prohibit the sale of marijuana. Or rather, the state laws that allow the sale of marijuana, the federal law does not. So here's what happens, okay?
Yes, but you're saying the states, they sell medical marijuana in California.
They sell medical marijuana in California. Now they're going to have legal marijuana in the state of Washington and all different kinds of laws and all different kinds of marijuanas in between. But here's the thing. It runs against the federals. Now you're President Barack Obama and you have an attorney general named Eric Holder. And I try to tell people this and some people get it and some people don't. My marijuana-loving friends say... Why does Obama do that? Why is he raiding these clinics? Because he's the president of the United States, and while many presidents, such as President Obama, have had sort of a hands-off approach, when a congressman or a senator or anybody politically motivated enough, or personally motivated, or morally motivated. You never know. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, as they say. If you got a problem with Obama and you don't like him and you want to cause him problems, you want to give him Suris, and you want to cause a breaking of the ranks in the progressive part of the Democratic Party, whatever you want to do, you can get up in the Senate and say, Mr. President, I happen to be a senator from California, or I'm a congressman. Yeah, well, there's marijuana being sold in my state, sir. I thought we had a federal law against that. You're the president. Why don't you do something about it? Now you're staring at a Republican congressman saying something that's absolutely true. Federal law prohibits the sale of marijuana. What are you doing about it, Mr. President? Now, a lot of these guys do it for the very reason I said. They do it because they want to discredit. There's plenty of presidents, Bush included, that ignored for a long time California's legal marijuana, medicinal marijuana sales. Plenty of them. There's also a period where they cracked down. During the Bush years, there was a big-ass crackdown here in the state of California. But for the most part, they were left alone. During Obama's reign as president, there have been, it's basically uninterrupted medicinal marijuana sales, but there have been busts, too. Believe me, it's a ridiculous freaking game going on. It's got nothing to do with marijuana. It has to do with the power struggle in Washington between the two ideologies. You want to be president, huh? I'm going to make you look like a real ass in front of all of your progressive supporters. I'm going to demand that you bring the federal police into California and bust all those pot, dispensaries. And now you're going to look like a real jackass.
But they don't care whether the marijuana is being sold or not, do they?
Well, they do. They do. I mean, I'm sure there's not a one of those guys that stands up and wants marijuana dispensary shut down that isn't in favor of it anyway. I mean, they do. But, you know, this is a situation that can be controlled by the state. In California or in Washington state or any other state, you can pass state laws that control where these dispensaries are set up. You can pass state laws that control who gets licensed. You can pass state laws. There's a lot of ways of controlling it. And so it's much better taken care of in the state. And if ever there was a law that could be taken care of at the state level, this is the law. So a conservative congressman getting up in Congress and saying, Mr. President, why aren't you busting all these dispensaries, is pretty much a joke, because these guys represent small government, I thought, and more state government as opposed to federal government. So why not take that up with your state legislature?
Well, they do it because, as you say, they want to embarrass Obama.
Yeah, they're going to embarrass Obama. That's not going to do it. I'm going to vote for him.
You can't even vote yet.
What?
You can't vote yet.
You can't even vote yet.
But I will.
By the time you're able to vote, well, you can't vote for Obama by the time you're able to vote.
Why?
Because you're 19 years old, right?
Yeah.
You ain't going to be able to. But Obama's done, man. The next election's going to be 2016. It'll be for a different president.
What are you talking about? He's the president.
He only gets two terms, man. Two terms.
Yeah.
This is first one or second one?
Oh, baby, where have you been?
Bud, you got to be kidding. He just got elected for a second term.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now I know. But, I mean, still, I support him.
Okay, fine, you support him. Washington now has this law that says you can smoke weed. What are the federals going to do? What's the federal going to do? If I'm the president of the United States, that's a tough one, man. That's a tough one. I would say, look, the people of the state of Washington voted. This is not a constitutional issue, as far as I can see. I don't think this is a constitutional issue, but I am the president, and I run the executive branch of the government, which includes the law enforcement branch of the government, to wit, the Attorney General and the Justice Department. We enforce the federal laws.
Well, don't you sit down and talk to the governor or something like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one. But, I mean, if somebody says, listen, Mr. President, I don't know about anybody else. I don't want that stuff smoked around in my state. I live in the state of Washington. The federal law says this. Why are there not the FBI and the federal cops in here? What are you going to say to the guy? As the president of the United States, you have to enforce the law, whether you like it or not. And, people think, oh, well, they do whatever they want. No, they don't do whatever they want to do. Yeah, there are some laws that, for political reasons, many times, but believe me, you can't get away with it, man, if the opposition doesn't want you to get away with it. And there's no way that you say to an attorney general who comes to you and says, I have evidence of a crime being committed. I want to move on this, Mr. President. I thought I would tell you about it. There's no way you say to that guy, don't do it, because now you are obstructing justice.
That what Nixon did and everything?
Yeah, Nixon did that. Yeah, he did. All right, Jeff Dowder's going to come on and talk with us about this. We come back here. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And, you know.
So, I don't know. It's almost as if we should have some marijuana here to smoke so we know the effects.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
So that I've educated as to the effects, I need to smoke some. And
yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
No, Margaret. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
All right, we got Dr. Jeff Dowder on the line with us here. Dr. Dowder is a professor of mechanical physics at Caltech in Pasadena. And Professor, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing pretty good. Interested in the conversation.
And did you hear what we were talking about?
Yeah, you're talking about basically the legalization of marijuana. I mean, you were speaking of it in terms of the legal aspect to it, but I'm more familiar with the sedative hypnotic effects of it, uses of it in the environment, whether it's your work environment or whether it's where you are living. You know.
All right, and we got, I think we're going to have on here in a moment, Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. Obviously, Conservatives of Kern County are going to be a group of people that I think are probably not all that enamored of the idea of law being passed to legalize. Larry, how are you?
Hey, good. Bill, real good.
And this is Professor Dowder.
Hey, Dr. Dowder, how are you doing? Larry Grover.
Yes, sir, really good.
When you say not enamored, I heard you say what you said about the conservative thinking on this, and it's not necessarily, I'm not necessarily somebody who's going to be opposed to the legalization of marijuana, but I don't think now's the time.
All right, and that's fine. Don Mixa is scheduled to be on with us. Don is a engineering professor at the University of Washington.
I wanted to ask you a question, if you pardon me for a moment, Professor.
Yeah, go ahead.
I understand that Professor Dowder is in favor of the legalization. I also understand that Professor Mixa is in favor of the legalization, and I'm the only one here that is opposed. Is that correct?
Not necessarily, because we are going to probably bring on Lloyd Bonafide, who is a Korean War veteran.
Well, here's what I'm hearing. You've got two men who are credentialed academics. And my hat's off to you, Professor Dowder, for the your achievements in the educational field.
Thank you.
As well as to Professor Mixa, but I am a man that works in a print shop in Culver City, and I know Mr. Bonafide, and I honor him for his service to our country. He's a heating and plumbing man, and so what you have is two professors at a university. And you have a heating and plumbing man and a man that works as in a print shop. And
I think, you know, there's nothing wrong if I could just there's nothing wrong with working in a print shop, sir.
Well, you don't understand, sir. My job is to replace the ink cartridges and to take orders from a 19-year-old kid. And this is the result of my life. Phil knows my story. Phil can fill you in. He can fill in the gaps and fill in the, if you'll pardon me for saying it, the gruesome details, you know. And
well, look, I've always had you on because I respect your opinion, Larry. I don't care what you do for a living.
No, you don't care what I do for a living, and I appreciate that, but I do when I have a professor of physics from Caltech.
Well, I'm a professor of mechanical physics, sir. I'm not, I don't know, is there a difference?
Well, yeah, there's a difference in it's a subfield. I do not yet have a doctorate. I have my master's. I'm working on my thesis.
Okay, well, no, I understand. I understand it, sir. I'm not working on any thesis, sir. The only thing I'm working on, you know,
getting another print cartridge, huh?
Getting another ink cartridge. For what? For a job you're doing?
Yes, sir, for a job. I don't...
Again, Larry, I don't think there's anything for you to be embarrassed about.
I think I appreciate that very much, Phil, but I'm a little intimidated, that's all.
All right, let me get on Don Mixa from the University of Washington. Don, how are you this evening?
Hey, good evening, Phil. I'm very good.
And, Don, you know the principals. You know the do you know Mr. Grover?
I do not know Mr. Grover. Mr. Grover, how are you doing? Don Mixa?
Yes, sir. And you are a professor of engineering.
Yes, sir, I am, at University of Washington in Seattle.
All right, so I've got here a guy that's physics. I got another guy that's engineering, and I just got another ink cartridge for a young lady that is printing up invitations to a baby shower.
Now, I want to say something. Larry, this is Margaret Gray. How are you?
Very good, Margaret. How are you?
I'm doing well. I understand how you feel. But you know something? I think Phil is saying something very, very important. We don't care. I don't think Professor Mixa cares or Professor Dowder. We want to hear your opinion, and I don't think you should feel the least bit less or inferior to these two men.
I don't think you should feel inferior, Mr. Grover. I think that, I'm speaking for this Jeff Dowder.
Yeah.
I'm just speaking for myself. I mean, you probably, you know, you got your opinion, I got my opinion, everything, you know, like that.
Yeah, I would concur that everyone's opinion is valuable.
I understand everyone's opinion is valuable, but when people turn the radio on, they say, well, there's Jeff Dowder, he's a...
I think we're wasting a lot of time here. I'm not saying that you don't have the right to have your opinion, but I don't think you should worry, all right?
All right. Because, you know, I understand that I got way more of a, you know, way more and more and more of a, of the education that you don't, that you not had, and that probably hangs you up.
You know, let me tell you, Larry, if I could, this is Don Mixa.
Yeah.
What I do and what Professor Dowder does, there are days that I wish, I really wish that I was loading in a new ink cartridge for some young senorita who's sending out some invitations to a mimosa party or whatever it is you're doing there. So I heartily agree.
It's a baby shower. And she's standing here. I'm on the phone. She's standing here looking at me.
Well, do you have to get back to work?
I got to get back to work eventually, but right now I'm on the phone on a talk show. Yeah, she wants me to load the cartridge. Hold on for a minute. How many do you need? She's got to do 1,000 invitations. 1,000? All right. Invitations to a baby shower.
All right. So let me, while you do that, Larry, let me get this kicked off here. Now, Lloyd Bonafide.
Lloyd is on the other end. Lloyd, darling, it's Margaret.
Yeah, Margaret, how are you?
I'm good. Can I say something to him?
Go ahead.
Lloyd, the song that we were going to do for the Margaret Gray songbook, you know, I...
Okay, we don't have time to do this right now.
I understand, but I need for him to know we were going to do a rehearsal tomorrow. The rehearsal is not going to be at my house. We're still looking for another place to rehearse.
All right, so there's no rehearsal tomorrow for the song for the song. There's no rehearsal at our house tomorrow.
Yeah, it's the song, Come Hear the Sleigh Bell, Jingling, Ding, Ding-a-ling-a-ling, Ding. You know the song, Lloyd?
Yeah, and I go, Ding-a-ling.
Come on, it's lovely weather for, you know.
Sleigh Ride.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Sleigh Ride, but the only part I have in it is the Ding-a-ling.
Well, you're doing that very well, but we're talking about something else.
Yeah, I've got to get some papers corrected then.
Okay. So let me get to,
You know, you guys are talking about ding-a-ling-a-ling and the other guy here, and when do I get, you know, and I'm you know. Well, I mean, sir, you're replacing an ink cartridge for a Mexican baby shower. Yeah, I understand that, but I'm trying to say, and I hope you'll listen to me, I'm trying to say I feel inferior to what's going on here. All right? I can tell you, Mr. Grover, this is Lloyd Bonafide. I've been listening, and there's no reason for you to feel inferior about anything because I've been listening to the conversation, and I haven't heard anything of any import, to be honest with you.
Why you talk about that?
Well, is this the physics man?
Yeah, it's Jeff Dowder.
Mr. Dowder, I heard you say, you know, you not never mind and this kind of thing.
Well...
Can we get to the debate? Because it's, you know, really, we're burning a lot of daylight here.
Well, I hate to break the news to you, but the sun's gone down where I live. I don't know about where you live.
But from my end of things, the sun's gone down.
Yeah, the sun's gone down here, too, but I'm still looking to try to get some work done because I've got a late-night meeting with a couple of students.
All right, let's start the roundtable discussion. Larry, you go ahead. Why are you opposed to the Washington law on legalizing marijuana?
The reason why, Phil, is because... Do you want multicolor? This young lady is very... She's being very patient. I don't mean to... You want multicolor, and we can give you the different font here for the big baby. You want the gala font? All right, your baby shower, and... Can I ask a question? Are you going to be fooling around with that, or... Not fooling around, sir.
Well, you're in the middle of an interview here on the radio, so you need to make up your mind.
Hold on for a minute. The reason why I'm opposed to the legalization of marijuana, and the reason why I believe the federal government should step in, is because federalism, from the very active standpoint of it, is when I went and saw the movie Lincoln, and it showed that Lincoln, he used the federal government to free the slaves. So why can't we do that when it comes to... It's $29.95. Why can't we do that when it comes to the marijuana issue?
Okay, let's go to Jeff Dowder.
All right, thank you very much, Phil. Well, I think that, first of all, marijuana should be legalized because it's been proven that marijuana doesn't do anything. It doesn't have no effect that's bad. And also the states have the right to it. I have, and I will be very honest right now, and I'll come right out and say it right now. I've smoked marijuana on a number of different occasions with students, as well as with myself, which basically means by myself, 1,000 of it. And I believe.
Hold on, Larry.
Yeah.
We can hear you talking to your customer.
Oh, sorry. And I believe. Well, I mean, is he going to be talking to the customer, or I just got to get her out the door? I didn't mean that to you, ma'am. You want the three color? Yeah, I got it. Three color and the picture of the baby. You can have the regular baby.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I believe that marijuana... it stands for baby. I don't... You want to bring it up? I apologize.
Look, let me take it, okay?
Yeah, you go ahead, Dr. Mixa.
I'm a professor like you. This is Don Mixa, Phil, and my belief in the legalization of marijuana is rooted really just in simple logic. I think this, as you said, is an issue for the state. I don't think it's an issue for the federal government to deal with. I don't think it's an issue for anybody to deal with. I think that it is an issue for the state, and I think that it is an issue for the state of Washington to deal with. I have smoked marijuana. I smoked some tonight, as a matter of fact.
You smoked some tonight?
That's what I just said. You know, I don't stutter. And
well, that means that you are under the influence of marijuana right now. Not you. I'm talking on the radio. That means you're under the influence now?
That means I'm under the influence now, exactly. And I am conducting a conversation with you. I am stoned, to use the word. I feel funny, and I feel stoned, but I don't care. I don't care about.
Yeah. Okay. That's a really good point.
All right. I got to take a break as we talk here with. I don't know what that.
I'm just saying I'm stoned and I'm making more sense than this guy who is trying to sell a Mexican baby. What are you doing?
Trying to sell a Mexican baby. I'm doing some invitation to a baby shower.
You know, this whole thing is a cluster. You know what? Yeah. I don't think so.
Right, hold on. We'll be right back. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. God, that noisy background. Where is that?
That's the print shop at the Culver Print Shop.
Unbelievable. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, and our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876. And I'd like the police right now to take note of something. Any police officers, any federal police officers right now, take note of something. There is a user on Twitter that goes by the name of iPokeSmut, and he has put my personal information out online, and as such is now attempting to have me assaulted or have members of my family assaulted. The username that he uses is iPokeSmut. He also goes by the name Real Bud Dickman over on Twitter. And Twitter, you people should know about this too. This individual is actively trying to have me assaulted. He's actively trying to have me killed, and probably members of my family. Now, I will, you know, continue this announcement from time to time, but the username is iPokeSmut. He goes, he uses this bird head, and the individual who does this thinks that this is funny. But when I wind up dead, now listen to what I'm saying here. When I wind up dead, and a member of my family winds up dead, you're going to want to know who this guy is. You're going to want to know, you're going to want to find out who he is. And I know that the police have in their wherewithal to discover those things. So that won't take a very long time. I will also give you the name of the female who provided him with that information in the first place, a scorned woman who decided that her way of dealing with this would be to put myself and members of my family at physical risk, put them in danger. This individual on Twitter, named iPokeSmut, and he's got a lot of different accounts, and he's put my address there, and he takes it off, and he puts my address there, and he takes it off, and he thinks he's playing a game. Well, he's not playing a game, because when I am in the ground, buried and dead, the cops are going to want to know who this guy is. So you might as well start doing your homework right now, Mr. and Mrs. Law Enforcement. And you too, Twitter. And if people want to spread the word far and wide, you go right ahead and do it, man. Phil Hendry's on the air tonight saying that this user, iPokeSmut, using this bird head, a guy who thinks he can remain anonymous, he won't be anonymous after they find me dead or members of my family dead, and they want to find out who the guy was that put this information out online, he's not going to remain anonymous. So like I said, anybody out there, any cop out there with some extra time, you might want to just start digging into it now, okay? Because that's what this guy's trying to do. There's no question at all. That's what he's trying to do. And I don't care. I'm not, you know, everybody got to die sometime. And if you think I'm afraid, I mean, I'm out here. I'm telling you about it right now. You know, I'm dead already, man. I'm a 60-year-old man, so I'm going to die soon anyway. Who knows of what? But quite possibly I'll be killed and assaulted in my home as the result of this guy iPokeSmut on Twitter with his bird head. Now, the guy wants to be famous. He's going to be famous in ways he can't even imagine. When I get done with him, he's going to be famous in ways that he wished he never was. His name's going to be known, his job will be lost, and to the extent that he has any family, and I doubt seriously if he does, he ain't going to have them anymore. So, you know, we'll see. Just, I don't give a damn. You think I'm afraid? I've had my life threatened over and over for 40 years in any number of ways, in any number of cities, all different kinds of threats against me. I've had my life threatened more times than you can imagine. I could care less. Somebody taking my personal information, my home address, and putting it online because they think that scares me. What that has done now is it's pissed me off. I'm letting you know. I'm letting cops know. I'm letting any law enforcement know, any federals know. RCMP in Canada, you should know that this guy has done it repeatedly, and he thinks it scares me. Not only does it not scare me, you know, it makes me want to find out who he is even more. And it makes me want to investigate him even more, and it makes me want to neutralize him even more. And I already admit to you, I'm probably already dead because of this individual. He has killed me, and that's what he wanted to do. You hear what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying, troll? I'm saying I'm dead. You put my personal information out there. Some psycho is going to, you know, I can't sandbag the house 24 hours a day. Some psycho will kill me. But after that's done, your ass is still here. And they're going to find out who you are. Good job, man. You thought it was a little prank? No, your ass is done. All right. Now, take two. Tell you what, we're coming up to the end of the hour.
Phil, that was...
Oh. I'm sorry, but I had, you know, I had to do it. And I'll keep on doing it. I'll make people famous. You want to be famous? I'll make you famous. I'll make you famous, and I'll make that the individual that you got the home address from famous. I'll let everybody know. I'm going to sit here and be afraid. All it did was piss me off to the point now where I'm not going to let it go. Now I'm not letting it go. Now you are going to find out what it's like, man. And we're going to get your name, where you work, who you're related to, everything. I am on a mission now. IPO, however he's, and it's supposed to be some reference to the fact that he smokes pot. That's really some Bo Brummel revolutionary stuff there, okay? I poke smart. So, yeah, you're going to be like that Violent Acres, man. No health insurance, no job, no nothing. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.